people in the world. And isn't that true? Life is about relationships. And the older that I get, the more that I realize the importance of good, strong relationships. Our strong relationships make us happy. They make us strong. They give us confidence. They give us security. And really, when you think about it, God, in the very beginning, understood that man did not need to be alone. He needed help. He needed a companion. He needed relationships. And ever since, the Bible is filled with the benefits and our needs of relationships with others. As Christians, we need relationships with our brethren. Acts chapter 2, 42 through 47 is not new, it's new to no one. It's a passage that gives us the feeling of relationships in the first century, how important they were to the Christians. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 emphasize the importance of relationships within God's people. But relationships are important with non-believers. I think that's apparent in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 and 14 makes it clear that if the believer is going to be the light of the world, if the believer is going to be the salt of the earth, you got to have relationships. You got to associate with those of the world. And even Jesus himself in Luke 19 verse 10. Jesus said, "I came to seek and to save the lost." Seek. That means that Jesus knew that he had to be a part of the world. What makes, you see this? Brother Leon Goff. How old is Brother Leon? 90. When I saw him take a drink of water, I thought, man, if I'm ever up, I'm taking a bottle with me. If he needed it, hey, I'm just 55. What makes a strong relationship? Well, a strong relationship is founded upon trust. Wouldn't we all agree with that? That your relationship is only going to be as strong as the trust that is within that relationship. And trust takes time. It's not something that just happens overnight. It's something that takes effort. It's something that takes ups and downs. And then as our confidence builds in that individual, then our trust increases. The relationships that are really bonded with trust are priceless. When we lose someone with whom we have great trust, it's a huge void to fill. The most significant relationship that any of us will ever have, it's not with your husband, it's not with your wife, it's not with anyone within shouting distance. The most important, the most significant relationship that any of us will ever have is the relationship that we have formed with our Father in heaven. Nothing else really matters. If we miss that, if we don't have that connection, then everything else is just lost. Are there ever times, you know, and I'm just to be honest here, are there ever times when you wonder, you know, just about your relationship with God? Do you ever wonder, is this all there is to it? What can I do to get closer? Do you ever feel complacency set in? Well, if that's the case, then maybe I need to raise my expectations. Maybe I need to reach a little higher. Maybe I need to dig a little deeper. Maybe I need to search more intently. The Bible is full of people who obviously had much confidence and trust in their relationship with God. And it's demonstrated time and time again by the commitment that we see that they made. I'd like to give you just three examples. Three men. You know, I've heard it said before, knowing is trusting, and trusting is knowing. These three men, although it's not spelled out for us, they knew God. And while we know God the day that we obey Him, I think we will all agree that it goes a lot further and a lot deeper than that. I think the Apostle Paul makes that pretty clear in his Philippian letter when he says that I still got a long ways to go. I'm just in the middle of this journey. I'm still in the process. This particular character, it says, walked with God. And to me, when I think of that expression, those words, it immediately says to me, that is somebody who was close. That is somebody who is intimate with God. This person had such trust that day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, decade after decade, built a boat because he trusted that the Father was going to take care of him and that there would be a need for that ark. Another great example of trust. Abraham. You know, you ever put yourself in Abraham's shoes? I know you have, because we've heard the story since we were, you know, really small. But he knows two things. He knows that through his son Isaac, a promise is going to be fulfilled. But on the other hand, he's fixing to kill his son. With that in mind, he heads off to the mountain. And he's fixing to head up, and he turns to his servants and he tells them, me and Isaac will be back. I don't know what was going through Abraham's mind, but what trust. He knew somehow, some way, regardless of what was fixing to happen, that God was going to take care of him and that the promise would be fulfilled. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul said this about himself in verses 4 through 8. Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also, if anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ. Again, you know, just what unbelievable trust. Here's Paul, who apparently, you know, he's climbed the ladder, and he's in a position of great importance. I take it from the language there that, you know, monetarily Paul was doing good. And yet, because of his conversation on the road, he chose to give all that up. But he trusted that God was going to take care of him. And this particular situation, I think, really more than the other two, is one that we can relate with from this standpoint. We all live in a society, in a country, in a time where things are good. And I have to ask myself the question, is my happiness, is my contentment, is it because of my relationship with the Father? Is it because of that trust? Or is it because of what I've got? Paul is a great example of a relationship of great trust, and was not one that depended upon anything other than his relationship with God. These three relationships show us what trust can do, and regardless where we are on this journey that we're all on, we can have this kind of relationship. How do I build this kind of trust? You know, if we're honest with each other, don't we look at some of these stories and just like, wow, I mean, can I have that? Can I have that kind of relationship with God? Well, I have to know Him. And if I'm going to know Him, I got to find Him. And unfortunately for us, there's not some pill that we can take. Somebody can't shake some fairy dust and make it happen. Acts chapter 17, I think, is a great passage of Scripture. In this particular situation, Paul is in Athens, and he's addressing the philosophers of the day, those people that are from a pagan world. And he's fixing to confess to them God. He's fixing to tell them, this is the God that I know. And let's read 17:23-28. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life, breath, and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place. Verse 27, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us. Two powerful words, two significant words in this passage, and they're both found in verse 27. Seek. You know, there are other words when you look in vines that you can plug in. Pursue. Discover. Search. All active words. Nothing passive about it. Nothing that says, I can sit back. You know, when I think of pursue, I think of a Western. I think of a sheriff who has gathered a posse and they've gone after the bank robber. And that posse is going to search high and low, night and day, eat in the saddle, sleep in the saddle, till they find what they're looking for. Another example. I can remember, long time ago, but I can remember in football, the defensive coach saying, wherever the ball goes, all of the 11 go to the ball. Pursue the football. I don't care what gets in your way, you go over it. Pursue. How are we going to know God? How are we going to find him? Because we're pursuing. We're on the chase. It is something that is active. And sometimes I can be so guilty of just thinking God takes care of it all. I just do my thing. You know, I go to church 3 times a week. Pursuing God. And know what? Nobody else can pursue for you. It's all up to you. Your mom and daddy can't do it for you. Your great-great-granddaddy can't do it for you. Your preacher can't do it for you. Your elders can't do it for you. You've got to pursue. And really, when it comes down to it, it's how bad do you want it? You know, it doesn't happen because I'm baptized. It's true. Knowing God starts there. And it has to be a relationship that is based on choice and not compulsion. It's based on something that we want to do, not something that I'm forced to do. And the second word to me that is a very comforting fact, is that if I pursue, verse 27 says, I'll find him. Now, is that not comforting? To know that if you pursue, if you put all this time and all this effort into this relationship, you'll find him. You know, James 4:8 says, if you draw near to God, he will draw near to you. And what is comforting about that verse? He's going to do his part. We know God's faithful. We know that our Father will do exactly what he says he will do. Well, there are five helpful facts to help us better our relationship and to develop more trust. And the first, pretty simple. Actually, they're all pretty simple. Listen to him. Listen to your father. You know, not too long ago, Julie said she was talking to one of her friends, and this friend said that God talks to her. Well, that's not what I'm talking about. There's no basis for that in Scripture. But Psalms 1:1-2. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. 24/7. That's not saying that I'm reading every hour of every day, but it sure is talking about a mindset. And it's talking about a constant awareness of who I am and who the Father is. James 1:19 says, swift to hear, slow to speak. Listen to the Father. Second, talk to him. Talk to the Father. He's there. He wants you to talk. He says in James, draw near to me. Talk to me. Sometimes maybe I can distance myself so far from the Father concept of God that it's hard to understand this intimacy that I think he wants us to have. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. Again, we know that this is not saying it's constant prayer. But again, it is a mindset, it is a constant awareness of God and your Father and what he wants you to be about. You know, a relationship without communication is a dying relationship. We need to make sure that we're communicating with our Father. Thirdly, imitate him. Two passages that Kyle used this morning, Galatians 5, 22 and 23, and Philippians 4 and verse 8. You want to get close to God? You want to know God? Then try to be like God. Wear, live the fruits of the Spirit. Clothe yourself with those characteristics, those attributes. Immerse yourself in the godlike qualities that he wants you to have. Because remember, he made each one of us in his image. Those qualities are there. It's up to us to bring them into our life. Fourthly, associate with others who are seeking and pursuing the same Father that you're pursuing. Strength in numbers. Appreciate your brothers and your sisters in Christ. And then fifth, know Jesus. Hebrews 1 and verse 3 says, to know the Son is to know the Father. Well, I hope those are helpful. I hope that that's something that you can use in your daily walk with the Lord. I pray that we will all have relationships with our Father that continue to grow, because it is a day by day, week by week process. And obviously there's going to be good days and bad days, but just keeping that in front of us, that the most important relationship that you can ever have is the relationship with your Father. Well, if you know that God is in control and you believe that this book is His Word, you can begin a new journey today, and you can develop the most significant relationship that you'll ever have. If there's anybody here and you need our assistance in any way spiritually, we pray that you would respond as we stand in